everybody, and thank you for tuning into the Liberty Report. Due to staffing today, we will be doing this program by audio only. But thank you very much for joining us, and our co-host is Daniel McAdams. He's with us. Daniel, good to have you with us today.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Good.
And, you know, we try to stay up on the news, and we're trying to stay up with things that are controversial and people who are attacking our liberties. And this guy by the name of Fauci, his name keeps coming up, you know, every time we start thinking about those things. So we're going to need to talk about Fauci again today because he hasn't gone to sleep yet. I thought he was going to take a break, but he's at it again, you know, and he was on the TV. Can you believe that CNN likes this guy? And they gave him a platform. Well, anyway, he got the spout off. And there was nothing shockingly new, but it was shockingly, you know, discomforting, the fact that he never shuts up and they keep giving him a sounding board. And I thought maybe he would quiet down, and he did for a little bit. But I'm going to have to call my son and ask him to keep after this guy, you know, keep him busy.
Yeah.
Put him on the defensive. So that's what we need to do. Of course, what we want to do is put those people who want to destroy our liberties and want to create chaos in the streets. We got to get them on the defensive. And there are some signs that that's beginning to happen. I mean, people are actually resisting, you know, some of the mandates by the government. And a year or so ago, they wouldn't dare talk about it. There was very few of us, but that's growing. And, you know, I think that's very good. You know, Fauci was on CNN, but he came up. He's working diligently on writing up some new rules. That's all we need. We need to get rid of some rules, but he wants new rules, and they're not, you know, they're not less ornery. They're crazier than ever, because he is saying that even if you're vaccinated, you have to wear a mask. Daniel, I would think that means that the vaccines don't work. Is that an admission of failure? But anyway, it's very confusing. And even if it had a grain of truth, decision making is the big deal. Should it be the pharmaceutical companies and the bureaucrats and the politicians making decisions and trying to choose which is right and wrong? But this whole idea that those individuals in charge have a monopoly over interpreting what is science and what is not. And if you don't agree with them, then you're anti-science, you're anti-American, and you hate liberty. So let's keep working on straightening that out.
Yeah, it's a huge problem for the White House because, you know, of course, the mantra has been get your vaccine, get your vaccine. If you don't get your vaccine, you want people to die. Well, you know, just 3 days ago, and this is from CNBC, Israel has said that its Pfizer COVID vaccine is only 39% effective on the Delta variant. So that means it's not as good, excuse me, as they're claiming. It's a huge problem. And it's also a problem that goes all the way to the White House. On Friday, I believe it was, Jen Psaki, the president's spokesperson, was asked point blank by a reporter, can you tell us how many breakthrough cases you have in the White House? Because it's all about the breakthrough people that have been vaccinated that still get COVID. And it's fascinating because she said she wouldn't tell them. The reporter said, why not just provide the number? You're trying to hide something. And she said, why do you need to have that information? And he said, transparency. So it's amazing. It's a huge problem. The places where the vaccine percentages are highest, you see the biggest uptick in infections. We don't know if it's related or not, but it's a huge problem for the White House because if the vaccines don't work, you're going to have a bigger problem with vaccine hesitancy than you have now. And with Fauci going on TV over the weekend on CNN, like you said, Dr. Paul, saying, I think if you're vaccinated, you should still wear a mask. I mean, if I was thinking about the vaccine and someone said that, I would think, okay, well, forget it then. It's a piece of junk. Right.
But then the other thing which seems to be working, or they don't know, or they're looking for excuses, and somebody's had two injections already, and it's up for grabs on whether they've been saved from the virus or not. They said, Fauci said, well, we have to consider the third shot. What's it based on science? And, you know, Daniel, I've mentioned this to you, and I haven't figured it all out, and I haven't had much discussion on this, is why is it that if they're going to be careful and make sure the people who are most immune deficient get these shots first? I get to thinking, the way I remember immunization is there can be, even the ones that aren't terribly dangerous, they give you a reaction. You're injecting something foreign in the body, and sometimes they're live vaccines, sometimes not. So if you only give those to the immune resistance, and there's a normal reaction for a lot of people right now, under these conditions on a vaccine that hasn't been tested, there are a lot of reactions. So I don't know the final answer to this. I'm going to keep pestering those so-called experts as long as they don't work for the government or the pharmaceutical company. Why is it that you go out of your way to give it something that might cause a problem to people who are immune resistant? I think that might be, if what I'm thinking about is true, that would explain why there's so many cases of the Delta virus. And the whole thing is, and we'll talk a little bit more about the testing, they don't even know what they're testing. They haven't known for a whole year. The tests have not been reliable, and there are assumptions that are made, but it isn't like as physicians and others visualize it. You know, if you have a strep throat, they culture your throat, they see it grow out, and they can see it. Well, viruses are different, but you can still grow viruses. Well, you can't grow this virus, and it goes on and on. They don't have really a lot of facts to deal with. And if you look at what are their goals, and I keep going back to the one goal that seems to help me understand it, is that there are some people in this country that would like to see chaos in our streets, chaos in our schools, chaos in our churches, and on and on. And if that's the case, you know, you really don't need to know that. Matter of fact, you would magnify the problem if chaos serves your interests.
Yes. And, you know, Fauci, in the same interview on CNN, he did, as you say, discuss the idea of a, quote, booster, a third shot. And that goes against everything we were told, quote, the science about the shot in the first place, which is two when you're done, or the J&J, one you're done. Now they're saying maybe a third. And just as easily, they'll transition to a fourth or monthly. And of course, Moderna and the vaccine companies are thrilled because their profits are through the roof. However, we do know this. We've seen that people that have had some problems with the first shot on the VAERS database, after the second one, they have much more severe problems. So people that are in that category that have had these problems, the idea that you're going to tell them they need to take a third shot because the first two shots they told you were almost 100% effective are now only 38% effective, you're going to start losing people. And, you know, there's something fascinating that came out over the weekend, Dr. Paul. It was a health authority from Sydney, Australia. And the video, it's on Nine News from New South Wales, I believe. He announced, because, you know, Australia is basically a big gulag right now. They've locked the entire country down. You can't leave your house. So he came on and he was just giving a report. And he inadvertently, in the end, told us a little bit of truth. He said, there are 141 people currently in hospitals in New South Wales with COVID. 141 of those, 43 are in intensive care, including several young Australians. Sounds pretty bad. But then at the very end, he said all but one are vaccinated. So 141 people, including 43 in intensive care, all but one of them are already vaccinated. This is a health official. It's not a conspiracy site. And the whole shutdown is over the fact that one person died, and it was a man in his 80s. They've shut the country down. So there is a huge problem. We don't have the answer, but our point, Dr. Paul, is the experts don't seem to have the answers either at all.
Boy, that's for sure. And, you know, we've complained about the testing all along. And now it looks like maybe they're starting to question it, because we read now that they're suspending the PCR test. And they're not saying, we goofed, it doesn't work. And that's where the confusion's coming. So we're gonna quit using it. No, we're just suspending it. And they give some weird reasons. One is, well, it's sort of bureaucratic, because everybody gets to run the test, and they run it in the offices, and then it's hard to coordinate. And they want everybody to go to the hospital. And besides, we're working on new testing, and they'll have to repeat all those tests again. And then, if they never had a test that accurately measured what was going on with COVID, and then you have these variants that are more difficult and a little bit more complicated and a little bit less necessary to even know, that they're now stopping. This is just madness, except stopping it is probably not a bad idea, but they're doing it because they pretend that their wisdom with dealing with science is growing and growing with all this experience. So, well, we have to modify it according to the science. So they're going to postpone that. But this postponement, I would guess, is most likely to lead that they're going to give up on the PCR test. They did not say that. They called it a postponement, and they were going to get more of these tests done in the lab because they could have access to the answers much quicker. So that is hardly a vote of confidence on what they have been doing and what they're planning to do. And based on this weird understanding, they're getting ready to put masks on everybody, masks on kids, more shots, booster shots, and pretty soon, I'm sure there'll be another variant. Yeah, there's two or three or four or five already. We'll have to have a shot for each one of them. So it is really disgusting when we do know one thing. I am probably more convinced of than ever is prevention is worth a pound of government cure. You know, yeah. Prevention to me is following health habits, and even if that is not perfect, I still think that I have more respect for it, and there's a growing respect for health freedom, and that's what I like. And this is the reason why we have to stay after this, to get people to understand they're not committing suicide when they want to let nature help them along and follow some health habits. Maybe it would mean that people would eat better and lose some weight and do their exercise, all these things. Maybe some good will come out of all this yet.
It really is interesting, Dr. Paul, the CDC announcement, and it came out just a few days ago on their own website. And what they announced is that they are withdrawing the request to the FDA for the emergency use authorization of the PCR test. So just like the so-called vaccine, the use of the PCR test was not approved. It was only an emergency use authorization to detect COVID-19. And they're saying now that as of December 31st, they are no longer going to consider that an emergency use authorization of the test. They don't say why. They just say there are other diagnostic methods that you should use. This is a guidance to places that are testing. So they say that there are other methods. Click on this page for more methods. But something else buried in here that's interesting, Dr. Paul, and I'm not an expert. You're certainly a scientist. I'm not an expert. But there's something interesting in here in the announcement. This is from the CDC's website. It says, CDC recommends clinical laboratories and testing sites that have been using the PCR test select and begin their transition to another FDA-authorized test. Now, listen to this part. The CDC encourages laboratories to consider adoption of a multiplexed method that can facilitate detection and differentiation of SARS-CoV-2 and influenza viruses. That makes me wonder, and a lot of other people wondering, are they saying that the test is confusing? The current test is confusing influenza with SARS-CoV-2. And if that's the case, that would be a big aha, because we've talked about this on the show many times, Dr. Paul, how amazing it was that the 2020-2021 flu season, there was literally no flu. So that means all the things that may have been the flu, if this is the case, actually were misdiagnosed as COVID-19, which served a political purpose. But now that that purpose has been served, they're changing their tune and trying to do something different. I don't know if that's true, but it certainly is fascinating, don't you think, Dr. Paul?
Well, those are some of the thoughts that we had early on, and I happen to think there's very much to it. You know, when I became very leery of this whole mess was when I heard that the co-developer, I believe this is correct, the developer of the PCR test sort of bragged, but was informing people that he was hesitant about the whole thing. He says, I can make that test do anything we want. We have more disease, more sickness, more death, because the test is so difficult to understand. It's not like, you know, you do or you don't. And I think that once they've decided, you know, well, it's the number we heard of a couple of months ago, they decided, what's the way they run the test? If you run more cycles of the test, you get more positives. So I think some people adjusted, but how many people adjusted? You think every lab adjusted it? Did they think they do that? Is there anybody that has an advantage to saying that we have more cases? Oh, well, we have to fill out our reports this week, you know, and there's reimbursements to be considered. So this is the whole thing. The dependency on this thing is just way out of proportion. I think of it, you know, that they have bits and pieces of information, and they have treatments and prohibitions of treatments, and they get into the problem, but they have a philosophy, and it may not be exactly what I say is it's to create chaos, or they might just believe in themselves that, you know, as long as we use our science, our understanding, that this is going to be beneficial. And at the same thing, they run into these problems, and this would go along with this PCR testing, is when they run into a trouble like this, they say, well, this is a bureaucratic problem. You know, maybe we didn't do this, and maybe we didn't do this. We didn't run the cycles long enough. It's never whether it was a good idea or a bad idea or a good test or a good treatment. They just do it. Just think of how they radically closed down ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. You know, in a society that's supposed to be free, the people and their doctors supposed to be able to make these decisions, but no, yeah. they just go ahead and do it. So it's always try to correct it with a regulation. I think about the Fed. The Fed does all these evil things, causes troubles. We need more regulations, you know, and that'll solve the problems of the mess that they created. And that's what we're getting in medicine. And this is such a strong demonstration on how government can mess up a whole system of medical care.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder, what is the reason for this sudden decoupling of influenza with SARS, if that's indeed the case, with COVID-19, if that's the case? And there has been some speculation, of course, that it all boils down to politics. As we've said a lot, the ratcheting up of the cases had a lot to do with politics. You got to show how terrible Trump is and what a buffoon and how inept he is. And then ratcheting it down. Remember, the first thing that Biden did when he came in office is that the CDC decided to tone down the PCR test from, you know, 8,000 to a manageable level. But now when you're changing and you're getting rid of PCR and looking at other tests that are better able to differentiate between influenza and SARS-CoV-2, it does make you start wondering, Dr. Paul, about the midterm elections coming up. It wouldn't look great for the Democratic Party running when there's a reemergence of COVID everywhere, despite their whole year program of vaccinating everything that moves. So I don't know, Dr. Paul, maybe I'm cynical, but I do wonder if politics is playing into this whole thing.
Well, it has to be. Some people say now they have found the answer. The real evil people are the ones who wouldn't get vaccinated. If you haven't vaccinated yourself, you've caused so many deaths, you know, in the country.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing right now. And there were a couple of polls done on this to find out how the doctors are responding to this. AAPS, which is a free market group of doctors, they interviewed 7,000 doctors. They found about 60% did not get their vaccinations. The AMA did 300. And lo and behold, there was such an improvement. Those AMA doctors must be great because 96% obeyed the rules and had all their shots. And you know that's probably not true, you know. But the whole point is why is it a critical point, you know, if people were making up their own minds about this and the conditions improved, a lot of these statistics wouldn't be kept. The statistics are kept and then they're used, you know, for distorting the facts. And yet they can turn it around. Anybody who does not agree with them is unscientific, and therefore they should be canceled. Probably there people have lost their jobs over it. I was going to say people can lose their license, but they essentially have lost their license if they lost their jobs because they've actually taken an independent stand. And that is exactly opposite of my understanding of what I was being taught in medical school just these few years ago. They actually taught us to think for ourselves and that you didn't treat people as a collective. And I remember one of our most popular internists at Duke, he emphasized so much. He de-emphasized the fact that you don't pick up a medical textbook and read cover to cover. You go see a patient, you get the history, you do it, and then you find out every single thing you can about that patient because that patient is unique and different. And it's opposite now. Everything is collective. Everybody gets the same shot for the same reason. And if it doesn't work, oh, two's not enough. We'll go to three. Oh, that didn't do it. We need masks. We got to put masks on people. Oh, boy, what a mess. And, you know, I always talk about how they come along and try to cause a little chaos. In a way, this whole mess helped close down the Olympics. You know, just think what happened to the Olympics. You know, the lowest attendance or watching it when almost 35 years. So they do achieve it. And then this morning, I was watching the regular television, but they were giving some regular news, and it was that there was a real crisis in Canada because there was a systematic attack on closing the churches in Canada. So, but that's happened here, you know, during the height of the, you know, the lockdown, there were a lot of churches that didn't operate. Maybe still, I don't know.
But as you said a minute ago, Dr. Paul, there is a huge emphasis on blaming unvaccinated people for the so-called Delta surge. That's what they want to do, but they do, as you say, they've got a problem because we see these breakthrough cases, people that are vaccinated, fully quote unquote vaccinated, getting COVID-19, getting the disease. If they weren't getting it, believe me, right? They wouldn't be talking about a third shot. That's the last thing they want. So the real problem is coming from vaccinated people. And, you know, here's something that's interesting, Dr. Paul, if we're about ready to close out, I have a couple of stats, and unfortunately, we don't have our visuals this week, but Sweden, remember Sweden? No one's talking about Sweden. Well, guess what? They have now a new University of Maryland mask survey. There's only 9% mask wearing in July in Sweden. Nobody's wearing a mask, yet the seven-day average of newly reported deaths per million in Sweden is zero. So they've managed to have zero because they let the virus go through society as it always does. And that's just how it is. And my final closing word, Dr. Paul, is just an update. As I sort of warned on Thursday, a couple of days ago, our Washington conference completely sold out. All the tickets are sold. So we're going to have a full house. It's going to be a great group. I apologize to those that can't get in. You can't say I didn't warn you. But unfortunately, we've sold it all, Dr. Paul, and so we're going to have a great time in September.
Very good. I want to close by just one additional thought about the variant. It sounds like foreign. Does it exist, or does is it this threat that it really is? Well, they do exist. People do know about it, but it's not like getting a severe case of influenza again or COVID again. Matter of fact, it's a variation which is spread more easily, and it's part of the mechanism on how nature takes care of it, because instead of it being the enemy of the people, it probably allows people to build up their resistance. And this whole thing about the way they're doing with the kids is assuming that the kids have to have these shots because they're turning up positive. They don't know they're positive, but and maybe they have a variant and they're building up their resistance. So it is to me the exactly opposite of our side not using science. I think that science has been totally ignored by the people who have ulterior motives, and it'll be a long time before those who are participating in it will come clean and tell us exactly how this went about. But anyway, Daniel, a good program today, and we will be back. We'll probably be doing some audio more this week. Our technician is out, but it always pleases me. We do get listeners when we don't have to, when we can't provide a video for them. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon. Mm-hmm.